Hey guys, and welcome back. This is the Mom Bear Podcast, and I am your host, Mary Susan McConnell. I am a little giddy today because this is my 10th episode. I cannot get over that. I mean, I remember sitting in a Target parking lot a year or two ago, jotting down little things on my phone, making little voice memos in case I ever had a podcast somewhere off in the distant future, what I would say, who I would interview. And it was just ideas rumbling around my head. And then thankfully, thank you, Sean, my husband, that I guess, you know, this started 10 weeks ago. So a little bit before that, we were having breakfast at our favorite diner. And I randomly mentioned this kind of far off dream I had. And he was like, wait a minute, that's great. Why is that a far off dream? Why don't you do that now? And I was like, oh, you know, when something just clicks, it takes somebody else kind of turning the scene around for you, and you see, oh yeah, that's something I could actually do maybe tonight. And sure enough, he had me set up my podcasting room, set up with the recording equipment within a few hours. And here we are. We are 10 episodes in, and I can't believe it. I want to thank all my guests for coming on the show. Your stories continue to move me. I mean, all your words are rumbling around in my brain constantly. I leave my podcasting room every time after interviewing with just like wide eyes and my heart pounding because I can't get over how authentic and how genuine and how honest and how transparent my guests are. And it's such a gift. It's such a gift. The emails that I get from listeners resonating with different stories is profound. So I also want to thank y'all for sharing the show. Every time you screenshot it and tag me on Instagram, every time you put on Facebook, every time you share it with your clinics or your doctors or your teachers, it is moving. It's traveling around the world. I can see it on the stats here, and it's really, really exciting. And I'll tell you what, I got an email or a message a few weeks back that said, I'm a mom and I'm sitting in the middle of the night in the hospital with my kid. And hearing other moms talk about what I'm actually going through right now means a lot. And guys, I don't know how she found the podcast. Y'all did that. Y'all did that by sharing it. And so please continue to share it. Please continue to pass it on down the road. Thank you so much for your support and for your reviews and your ratings. It helps with a million things. And I am just so very grateful. In honor of today's 10th episode, I have created a coupon code. If you look at your phone, the logo there, the Mama Bear logo, I had a store long before this podcast, my Mama Bear shop, that started with that logo. That was my first product, and I have it on baseball tees, hats, Razorback tanks, hoodies, and then it grew from there. I started to create more designs. I have a new one that's Trailblazer. I have Lionhearted. I have Brave. I have even stuff for kids and dads, too, Papa Bears, and so that's my online shop, so you can access it through my website, themamabearsite.com. That's the Mama, M-A-M-A, Bear, B-E-A-R, site, S-I-T-E.com. And then you can click on the link for Mama Bear Shop. And in honor of today, you can use the code 10th episode. Make it one word, T-E-N-T-H-E-P-I-S-O-D-E. And then put it in caps because I'm really pumped. So imagine me yelling 10th episode. That's the coupon. And that will get you $10 off any order with a subtotal of $50 or more. So go ahead, check that out if that's at all interesting to you and see if there's something that you may like. Again, the shop's at themamabearsite.com. And I am pumped for today. If you are new here, I kind of flew through that intro, but this is a place where women who are raising kids with special needs of any age, any diagnosis, can get together and share our stories, share our lives, talk about what it's like for us in the current moment. And we can go backwards. A lot of times we talk about the what has led us to this moment. And to me, that has always been so powerful. as the mom to a beautiful, magical 7-year-old human being that's just amazing, my daughter, Abiella. Connecting with other people, whether it was on a podcast or a book or a blog post, was really very, very important to me. I still have all the books that I started with at the beginning of this parenting journey that I would devour on my shelf in my bedroom with dog-eared, highlighted, and it brought such comfort. So that's my hope for this place, is that you will feel seen, you will feel known, and you will know that you're not alone. And hopefully you will also feel like you're hanging out on my back porch having a glass of wine or a coffee or a tea, whatever suits your fancy, and just having a good time. So that's my hope. Thank y'all for being here. I am so pumped about today's episode. I knew when I started this show that I wanted to have every 5 or 6 episodes, one that I did myself. And I thought today, with it being the 10th, would be a good time. And I'm talking about a topic that I am very, very passionate about. And that topic is what I refer to as squad goals. And I will get more into that in the episode. But I'm talking about building a team, building a world that makes you feel safe, that makes your kid feel seen. And it's not necessarily an easy thing to do, but it's so important. And this world that I'm going to be talking about today includes the squad, I should say, includes friends that get it, doctors that you actually like, therapists that are an asset to your world, that make you feel known and seen, and that make your kid feel capable and magical, and caregivers. I'm going to be talking about 7 ways that either I have used or my friends have used successfully to find good caregivers so that you can get a break, even if that means just going to the bath and taking a bath. All right, here we go. I am so pumped. Thank y'all for being here, and let's do this. Let me start with the squad goals episode by saying some of you may have an amazing group and you already have your village and you're like, I am set. And that makes me so excited. There's nothing more. There's truly nothing besides just the, you know, the logistics of your world and how your child is doing and if they're healthy, happy, and feeling safe. Aside from those very fundamental things, when I speak to other women who are beginning this journey or maybe have been on this journey for, you know, decades, my main concern, my main focus for them is, what's your village like? And if it's a bummer, then what can we do to make it better? Because the one thing that I hate is when we get, and it's very easy to do this, is when we get the story going in our mind that there's nobody there that gets it. There's nobody in the world who understands. There's no hope for this. There's no hope for that. And it's so easy because, let's face it, sometimes the chances are kind of slim. You know, when you're talking about a diagnosis that's super rare, when you live in a town that literally has no other families that look like yours, when you feel like every second of the day is taken by just trying to keep the wheels going, how could you develop this? Yeah, that's hard. And I'm not going to pretend that there aren't parents out there who just literally cannot get away, whatever that means. And so we're going to talk about that too, because we have got to find ways. I consider it a non-negotiable to have other people in our lives who can step in occasionally, whether it's all the time, whether it's so you can go out and do something fun, a weekly kind of personal day that you get to go out and take care of yourself, or if it's for the sake of an unseen emergency. You know, we have got to be prepared for this. And how do we prepare for that? We build a village. And I'm telling you what, every night when I go to sleep, I know how blessed I am to have this community. And by community, I mean my friends, my doctors, the therapists, the PTs, OTs, speech service, feeding, AV's teachers, the caregivers in our world. I know what a gift that is. And I remember back early on in the journey when we had no babysitters, when we were facing doctors that I thought, I completely don't like you and and we're going to have to move on. I mean, those journeys always, you know, come and go, and we're going to be talking about that. But when I look at the days of feeling like Sean and I, and for single parents, I honor you when you feel like you're the only one in the village that gets your kid, you know, that's hard. And so I'm passionate. I am deeply passionate about helping families, encouraging families to grow that network. So that's what I'm talking about today. And like I said, we're going to go through each one. Now, I'm going to go kind of fast because I don't want to take up too much of your time. But truth be told, I could talk about each one of these for an hour. And don't worry, I'm not going to. But let's start. Let's start at the top with, you know what? I'm looking at my little list here, but I'm going to flip-flop something. And I'm going to start with your therapists. And I'm going to start here because I'm going to tell a story, a bad story. And then we'll get to the good. It's like, do you want the bad news first or the good news first? And if it were me, the bad news. So here we go. I'm going to tell a story that I consider, it was a really good lesson, which is why I'm starting with this. But early on in our journey, now I'm going to be intentionally general here because I don't want to bash anybody. Sean certainly doesn't want to bash anybody. Sometimes everyone just has a bad day, or you say things you wish you hadn't. And sometimes you just don't jive with somebody, but maybe your friend loves that doctor or loves that therapist. So occasionally it's just a personality thing. But here we go. So AB had been home, I don't know, 6 months or so. And we knew we needed to get a very specific type of therapy. Again, I'm not saying what it is. And because our town is small, a very specific type of therapy. Granted, this was in the city, but still. And we got on a waiting list for the, you know, the clinic that's considered really, really high up there, high quality, long waiting list. And one day we get a call and they're like, hey, we have an opening for y'all. Do you want it? And we're like, heck yes, we'll take it. We'll take it once a week for infinity. And so they're like, great. So they put us down and here we go. Amy's in her stroller at that point. Now she's in a hot pink sparkly wheelchair, if you haven't listened to the show before. But she was in a stroller at that point and we're walking in, Sean, AB and I, into the appointment. We are so pumped. It's going to be kind of a hassle getting to this location, but totally worth it. And we go in the room, we close the door, and within about, 45 seconds, I was like, this is a nightmare. This woman, this person is highly difficult. She was a total alarmist, to kind of paint the picture. Sean and I are in like the little seats sitting that like kids use, if I remember correctly. If not, that's how it felt. Amy's in our lap. And before she's like even talk, she A, does not acknowledge AB. Okay. How to get on the bad side of a mama bear is to not acknowledge your kid, right? And then when she did, her words were just strangely odd. And she stands up and gets, I want you to picture like a diagram for your eighth grade history class. And then I want you to picture a really long pointer and then know that this is not an exaggeration. Also know that this was not a classroom. This was a room that was like smaller than a horse stall. So here Sean and I are sitting. Here she is standing, pointing at things on a diagram. And right, you can picture it, not the right posture for a first meeting. And the thing she's pointing to are literally the worst case scenarios, like the very worst case scenarios that probably won't happen, that don't happen very often. And she hasn't even examined AB yet. So she really doesn't even know if that's in our future. She's just like winging it. and she's winging it in a really negative direction. So Sean and I are sitting there. AB falls asleep. So before she can even get her hands on AB to start treating her and start working with her, AB's asleep. And I'm like, good. Sleep, child. Sleep. Like, we are not waking you up because this is not going well. And we leave the appointment. We don't say a word. We're walking out. We get out of the big doors. We get to the elevator. And Sean says, looking straight ahead at the elevator doors, he says, "We are never seeing that woman again." And I was so relieved because we hadn't even dared look at each other sideways, you know, because she's staring us down from like 3 feet above us. And to know that he felt what I felt was comforting. But then we really did have to have a long conversation about it, because here this woman had 30 years experience, 30 years. We were in our mid-20s at this point. This is our first child. We're learning everything in the moment. Like, we had no medical history. And she is the one, you know, the clinic we had been waiting for. Not necessarily any specific therapist, just a place in the clinic. And so we had to really, really examine. Do we go with our head that says, we have to take the appointments? Like, she needs this type of therapy. We don't know if we can get it anywhere else. Or do we go with our gut that says, hell no, not okay? And we spoke with another woman who was kind of helping us with early intervention services. She said, hey, I actually think I can find you some people to come to your house and do this, which was like the final hallelujah. Okay. And we decided we're canceling. So Sean calls, cancels every appointment from here to infinity, goes backwards on her original plan. And we felt great. And then about 48 hours later, ring, ring, ring. Sean picks up the phone. It's the woman. And she is saying, what a horrible parenting choice we've made, that we are really not making an educated decision, and that we're putting our kid at risk by not seeing her. And that any other therapist that would be willing to come to our house had to not be very experienced, had to not be very good at their job. Let me tell you, it didn't sell her case. It did not. It did not. But again, you hang up the phone and you're like, okay, oh my gosh, am I putting my kid at risk? Again, this woman has 30 years professional experience in this field. What we eventually decided, and what I encourage everyone to do, is always put your gut ahead of a resume. And that's what we did. So it's a moment that I'm really proud of. And as young parents in a totally new boat, that we bet on ourselves, and it worked. So we eventually had therapists start coming to our house in this field. They were amazing. They were wonderful. AB started to make great progress. We then went to another clinic. We moved, went to a different clinic. Had great therapists there. We moved we were with a few different therapists at that clinic, all of which are amazing. And we've been with our current one for years. And it's been unbelievable. After seeing AB with these other individuals, I truly don't believe she would have made any progress. And I think that's why she fell asleep. I think she felt the energy was so bad and she checked out. And man, I wish I could have checked out. But so that's my therapist story. Now, that's the bad. Here's the good. The good is we're rocking it. We're rocking it. And we have used that same kind of method, that same kind of check your gut system with every decision we've made. Now, obviously, we take into account people's expertise. We take into account what they know. But it has always worked out. Thankfully, in regards to therapists, we've never had to face that situation again. We've loved everybody we've been with. And is it possible that she was having a bad day? Totally. Is it possible that other people see her and think she's, you know, the most incredible, incredible woman in the planet? Totally. I hope. It could have very well just not been a good meeting. But for us, it was a big fat no. And I'm really glad that's what the route we went. Now, I could brag about our therapist all day long, but again, for time's sake, I'm going to move into the topic of doctors. And with doctors, you know, I recognize that we live in a city that has a lot of doctors, that we have really great hospitals here. And so we kind of get to pick and choose for the most part. There may not be, you know, dozens of specialists in the exact same pediatric area, but there's a handful. So I don't have to stay with someone I don't enjoy and that I don't appreciate. And we have not, you know, Sean and I have been very, again, intentional with that. And a quick story, when AB had her first kind of, again, I'm going to be generic here. We had an issue that we ended up being in intensive care. And you're there for a few days. She's, you know, it's up and down. It's confusing. And here comes the doctor. We're making the morning rounds. And I'm asking him a few questions. And he stops me. He has a ton of students watching him, which again, you know, whatever. I'm glad the students are there. That's fine. But you can tell when someone is very aware that they have people watching them. And I don't really appreciate that. So point is, I am going into maybe my third question. And he says, let me stop you right there. It's not like this is the only time you're going to see me. You can ask me these later. I'll tell you when you don't shut a mom down from asking a question. Oh, I don't know, 90 seconds into your meeting is when their child is behind you in a bed intubated when they are having seizures. You know, I immediately bristled up and I said, oh, no, actually, this is the last time you're going to see me. Thanks. And as soon as we got out of the hospital, we went back to our pediatrician and we switched specialists. We had her give us a recommendation that that actually a lot of our friends were going to, and we switched. I don't have room for that. I don't. I just don't. I didn't care what his expertise was. If I could find it elsewhere, I'm leaving. Thankfully, we have all of our doctors now that we currently see are people I would totally get on the phone with at 2 a.m. and trust their decision-making and trust that they understand that my time and my life is a part of this equation. You know, I really appreciate when a doctor is like, hey, are you sleeping? Hey, how's this going? You know, the first time, I believe I've spoken about this before, but the first time maybe had a seizure, Sean and I were taking turns sleeping on air mattresses in her room for like a month after that. Because we just figured that's how you do life now. Like, I don't know what else to do. And because she had it in her sleep, and that's how we found her in her sleep having a seizure. And the doctor heard that, the neurologist, and he was like, no. Tonight, you deflate the mattress and you go back to your bed. Because the best thing you can give your kid is a well-rested, happy, healthy, whole parent. And he was right. And of course, I had a million questions. Well, what about this? What about that? And he sat with us for, I literally think it was an hour, answering every single question, reminding us that now she's on meds for this, now this, now this, now this, and helping us walk through that choice. And sure enough, we came home. We put the air mattress back upstairs in the closet and we went to bed. And those are the doctors you want in your world, where they aren't just seeing your child. They're seeing the whole picture. They're seeing you. And they're seeing the family. All right, moving on to friends. First, you know what? I'm going to end with friends because that's so important. I'm going to move to caregivers. And here's my thing with caregivers. We need them. And we need a lot of them. Because you never know when you're going to come down with strep throat. You never know if you're going to hit a wall of total exhaustion and need to be in bed. And somebody has got to know how to take care of your kid. Somebody has got to know what to do. And beyond that, I mean, that's the extreme. We need time. We need time, whether that's going out with friends, whether that's going on a date, whether that is taking a bath. Like, if you can't leave your house, can you go read outside? Could you put a lawn chair out and throw on some sunscreen and listen to some music? What are things that you could do to create a space, to create a bubble around you for self-care and for adult time? And caregivers are invaluable, invaluable. And I think a lot of people, we start with just, okay, who in our current world can do this? And then we end there. And I really encourage people to expand that part of your village truly as much as possible. And it's not easy. You know, a lot of us have kids that are nonverbal, which means trusting a person. You always have to trust a person. I mean, even if you're parenting a child who is considered typically developing, it's hard to find people you trust. You know, this is your treasure. Your child is your absolute heart. And to leave the house with someone that is now in charge of making sure your heart is beating well is it's a hard thing, but it's very important. It's very important. I've said before in an episode that I'm an introvert, so I didn't really know I needed to get out. And eventually Sean and some friends were like, you have got to do this. I have the perfect babysitter for you. She had been in nursing school. She had worked with an incredible organization that did respite care for kids with special needs. And she, big bonus here, was one of the best friends of one of my best friends. So there was an immediate kind of trust factor there. She wasn't a stranger. And the first time I let that happen and I left the house, I think I was gone for an hour, maybe two. And I went to just go grab lunch. And I still remember sitting in that booth, eating my lunch, just like blank, like my eyes just kind of scanning the room, not looking at my phone, not talking to anybody. It was just me. I just left. And it was like water rushing over me. It was fresh air. It was like a bath of the spirit. I mean, I'm serious. It made me feel so much better. And I didn't know I was feeling not great. I mean, I would say at that moment I was happy and doing well, but man, having that made me really happy, you know? And coming home, I had so much more energy to give to my child. And I always say the healthiest, happiest you is your kid's healthiest, happiest parent. You cannot separate the two. You just can't. And it's worth it to really try to figure this out. So caregivers, let's talk about it. Ways to find caregivers that you trust. 7 ways. 2 of these cost $0, so I'm going to make those last. Number 1, ask friends. I know that seems obvious, but there's not a friend I have within 30 miles radius of me, whether they're raising kids who are typically developing or whether they are raising kids with special needs, that I haven't asked, do you have a good sitter? Because a lot of the times, you know, my friends that are raising kids that are on the typical track, they know me, they know AB's situation, and if they suggest somebody, that means they really trust that person to do the job. And I always say, if I can trust you, I can teach you what to do. You know, I can teach you. And to let people kind of know, like my story, I need somebody, if I'm going to leave the house, I need somebody who can handle a seizure. I need somebody who can work the feeding tube. I need somebody who knows how to vent her if her belly needs to be vented. It's a medical situation. Moms who are listening, you know what I mean, who are in the same boat. I need somebody who can lift her. You know, she's almost 50 pounds now. She's in 40-something pounds. I need somebody who can understand kind of what she is saying because she is technically nonverbal, but by the way she's expressing herself. And I need somebody who I can teach how to use the equipment, but overall, I need somebody who I can trust. And if I can trust you and you're willing to learn those things, I can teach those to you. And if somebody is like, I can't do this, then totally, we don't have to do it. But I have found great babysitters just by asking friends, totally just by asking friends. And then, of course, my fellow moms who are raising kids with special needs, that's just a whole other level of experience there. If they say, yes, this babysitter rocks, I'm like, okay, they have dealt with that situation. They can help, you know, they can deal with mine. And I typically, like most moms, meet the person first, if possible, hang out with them for a while. I check my gut. That's my superpower. That's your superpower. I check my gut and we go from there. And now we're at a place that I don't have to teach anything anymore. We have so many people that just can come in. They know the drill and it works. Okay, so that's number 1. Number 2, I haven't done this, but I have a friend who has, and I think it's so smart. Look around if there are any colleges or universities in your area that have programs in anything from OT, PT, speech, special education, nursing, contact those chairs of those departments and say, hey, if you have anybody who needs some experience, I would love to offer that to you. Here's my number. And you don't have to leave the house even. You know, these people will be jumping for experience. They may even need it for school hours. And what a help if you could have someone come to your house and you could take a bath. You could just go in the other room and work. You could lay down or you could just sit in the living room and watch. You know, you could watch your kid be with somebody else. And who knows, that type of relationship could develop into a really great caregiving experience. So that's one way. Third, ask the clinics, ask your therapists. I have always asked my therapists, do you know anybody who might be a good babysitter? And, you know, that's their world. That's their world. They may have an intern at the clinic, and every clinic has different rules about whether they can meet you out of hours, therapy hours, but it's important to ask. And quite a few times, those therapists have looked at me and said, oh, I'll do it. And then I pass out. And then when I come to, I lift my hands in a hallelujah and cry happy tears for the rest of the day, because those people know your kid, and you obviously already trust them if you want them to be your therapists. And that has worked out incredibly well also for school. Again, schools have different rules, but you can always ask, does anybody know anybody who make a great babysitter? You never know. And guys, I highly encourage you at least asking. And five, respite programs. I've never done that, but I have people who have. I know people who have, and they've had great experiences with it. And you can find those in your town. Hopefully your town has a respite program or a caregiver service and something beyond just the websites, but where it goes through, I guess a lot of them are called nanny services, but where there's a middleman interviewing these people before they get into your home. And then, of course, you interview them as well. And here are the last two that cost $0. One, and I've seen people do this, and I think this is so cool. One is switching services. So I know someone online who was a photographer. And so what she did was there was a family that she knew that she loved and trusted. They would babysit for her in exchange for, instead of money, in exchange for her photography skills. So she would take portraits, family portraits, and they would babysit for her. And that was the swap. I've seen it also with a hairdresser. So they would babysit for her, and she used to be a hairdresser. I don't think she currently was at the time, but she would take care of their hair and cut it, highlight it, whatever it may be, in exchange for those services. So think of services that you could offer, everything from cleaning a house to doing landscaping work to painting to, you know, what is it? What is it that you could do? I could probably think of a million that people would be really excited. If it were me and somebody said, hey, I'll do your hair if you watch my kid for a few hours, how does that make you feel? I would be like, sign me up once every 6 weeks because that sounds great. So just consider that. And seven, I've seen people do is swapping with a family. So anyone who knows your kid or knows kind of the situation, maybe it's a family you know in the community, or maybe it's another mom at a clinic that you've met sitting in the waiting room who has a child with special needs. Hey, would you ever be interested in sharing and kind of swapping nights with babysitters? And just kind of seeing, of course, you don't want to just go with some stranger, but you know, once you meet people and know them well, it's a cool idea. It's a cool idea of, hey, I'll come to you or you come to me, whatever is best for the kids. And then next week we'll flip-flop. And so it's free. And it's a great way, in my opinion, to build that sense of community, that sense of village. A bonus one is obviously nursing care. I have been able to see a few of my friends' families go that route for different periods of time. And I totally think if that's something that's available to you, do it. If that's something you would want, do it. Okay, so that's caregivers. I hope that maybe some of those gave you a good idea. They certainly have given me good ideas. At this point in our world, we have, I counted it up before I did this, 8 caregivers that we could call. 8. And they all know AB. They all understand. Now, we have 3 that we typically use because they live very close and their schedules work out and we just adore them. You know, it's not like you have a rotation of 8 people coming to your house. But if it's a very specific event or something, or again, like if these 3 people are out of town, but you're sick and you need somebody, I have more than just those 3 that I could mention. And of course, there's obviously friends and family, but I'm trying to give ideas outside of that. All right, moving into the last one, which is friends. All right. At the beginning of our journey, we knew 1, maybe 2 families who had kids with special needs, which was and continues to be a huge blessing to us. One of those families was the Deans, which is, I interviewed Jen Dean in the episode about home accessibility. They rock. If you haven't listened to that, you should. And that was always an encouragement. My next family was that I became friends with was online. And it came through a random message one night that said, I found your blog and I also adopted my daughter from the same area and she has very similar needs. Do you want to talk? That created the most exceptional relationship for me because it was like she was really plugged in. Like, it was crazy. Like, the connections, I would be thinking something and then my message would ding and I would look down and she'd be saying, hey, I don't know if you've ever felt this, but I have and blah, blah, blah. It was really unreal. Who am I texting during our first experience in intensive care? I am texting her. I'm messaging her on Facebook and we're going to get to hear from her. I get to interview her coming up and I'm really, really pumped about that. But then we continued to grow those relationships on Facebook. Someone started a Facebook group that was super helpful and you could throw in your messages. That's the great thing about Facebook is you're not texting people and waking them up, but how many of us wake up in the middle of the night? How many of us aren't sleeping at all? So you get a group response, which has been very, very helpful. And then our next face-to-face friends that we met, and I share the story in more detail because it was like a miracle in my life, was the Bynums. And Allison Bynum was my first guest on the show. She's in episode 2. And her experience is very similar to ours in regards to what their worlds look like with adoption, with G-tube, with a whole slew of factors. So you can listen to that there. But seeing her daughter, Charlotte, on the floor with my daughter in our home, getting fed in the same way through a feeding tube was, I was thinking today, it was like lightning hit our house in the best way possible. It was like everything got, in that one moment, everything felt brighter. Everything felt more colorful. Everything felt like a relief. And not only for me, but for, I felt it for AB. I was so glad she could see another child in a very similar situation. And so how do we find these friends? It's very important. How do we find them? Again, online is great. Online, Facebook, Instagram hashtags is somewhere that I have really searched because people can be very specific on their hashtags and then you can connect that way. And clinics, you know, sitting, I have a friend that I met just sitting in a clinic. We were both in the waiting room together. So that has been helpful, but it takes effort, you know, it takes effort to say, hey, do you live close? Or, hey, are you on Facebook? Hey, do you have Instagram? Would you ever want to go to the park? Would you ever want to do these things? That takes effort. If you're sitting there just expecting, now sometimes those experiences just fall into your lap and I consider those just grand miracles. And other times it really does take the effort of saying, hey, I would love to go have lunch with you. I have a friend now who lives across the street that I met at a meetup. Thank God. There are some incredible women in our town who are raising kids with special needs. And one of those amazing women hosted a breakfast at her home the day the kids went to school this year, which was so perfect. And I was so excited to be invited. I don't know how they knew me just from being at the school. You know, I mean, you start to kind of connect with people in a very just like, hey, waving kind of situation. And when I got there, it was a room full of women talking and I was able to meet other women. And what if I hadn't gone? You know, I mean, it really is. You just have to get yourself out to do those things. And now I have a friend across the street who I get to go have lunch with, who we both understand each other's situations. And I have multiple people across the street, you know, multiple friends because of that breakfast. And even if I don't see them all, I know that I could call them. I know that I could get on Facebook and say, hey, could somebody help me with this? And that is invaluable. It is invaluable. So guys, there we go. That's all I've got for today. I really hope that you have an exceptional squad and that if you don't, that you feel empowered to go get it because you never know. You never know. But if you shut the door in your head before you even get out there, you're right. You're not going to find it. It's going to be very hard. So unless it just falls in your lap, you may not ever see it. You may never access that incredible gift. And honestly, I have the women that went before me to thank. When I saw a friend of mine who has a child with special needs go on vacation without her child, I was like, wait a minute, who's taking care of the kid? How did you do that? And then it made me start thinking about that. When I saw some friends out at a concert, and it was before AB had come home, and I knew we were about to be in the same boat, and they were out at a concert, and they had a babysitter. I was like, okay. You know, you store these things in your brain. And I began to believe it was a possibility for us. And now, you know, we are. We're going on our second annual beach vacation, adult beach vacation, Sean and I. And AB will have her second annual girls' staycation, where she gets to hang out with some of her amazing babysitters and enjoy time without us. You know, she loves it. All right, friends, I hope that you have an exceptional day and I hope you have a great rest of your week. I can't wait to talk with you next Monday. And thank you from the bottom of my heart for being here, for showing up every week, for sharing, and for just being who you are. All right. God bless and Godspeed. Bye-bye.